7:55 a.m. Hawaii time, 360 Japanese planes invaded Pearl Harbor. 2,400 Americans were killed, 1,200 were wounded, and Pearl Harbor was considered safe from aerial attack because aerial torpedoes up to that point were considered to need deeper water than existed in that harbor. Because when they're dropped from the plane, they hit the water, they dive down, and then they begin to come up and they would hit the bottom, it was thought. However, the British, just a couple months, if I'm remembering correctly, before, had taken some of their aerial torpedoes, put some wooden fins on them, and they had an attack in even shallower water. If I'm remembering, Pearl Harbor was 40-some feet deep, and they made an attack on the Japanese in 33 feet of water. With these fins, when it would hit the water, the fins would stop it from diving and would push it forward in the shallow water. And not only had the British developed that, but apparently the Japanese as well. There are families yet today mourning the loss of family that were lost in that attack, though it's, what is it, 70 years ago now? 75 years ago. Are you a satisfied Christian? Consider these two men, if you will. The first one is Nero. Consider him as he sits in pomp and glory in his palace, a conqueror of the world. The porticos of his palace, I'm told, were a mile long. The walls were covered with mother of pearl and ivory. The ceilings were arranged in such a manner as to shower lovely perfumes on guests when they would meet and have parties. His crown was worth $100,000. His mules were shod with silver shoes. His fish were caught with hooks of gold. 1,000 carriages accompanied him when he traveled. His wardrobe contained so much clothing and in such abundance that he only ever wore something one time. He never, the affluence and opulence were almost unbelievable. Yet he was not a satisfied man, because he was not a saved man. His armies conquered, and he himself had so much, but his heart was not satisfied, and so it sought more and more. Consider the second man, the Apostle Paul. At this point, he lies in a lonely dungeon. He was a prisoner of the Lord. A chain did bind him to a Roman soldier. The scars in his back were very obvious because of 5 times 40 stripes, save one, were laid in his back. The furrows on his brow could tell of the perils unparalleled, as he even recounted them. The executioner was preparing an axe at the time of which we speak, and it was going to end his life on this earth. But he is kept in perfect peace because he was saved, and therefore he was satisfied. He has believed in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, he wrote in Galatians. And he could say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, satisfied. Now, would you rather die like Nero or like Paul? One had it all in this life and had nothing in the next. And the one who had seemingly nothing in this life would have it all in the glories of heaven, in the life to come. It is very difficult to read a book like Fox's Book of Martyrs. Very difficult to read some of the stories of today's Christians who die for their faith. The torture that is put upon them, I shudder when I read. But always the grace of God gives them the strength to face it in unbelievable ways and manners. I was reading in Psalm 17, and I ask you to turn to it. Psalm 17, in personal Bible reading. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy light. Father in heaven, help us to be satisfied. Help us to be content in the Christian life, in that life which we each have. And may the likeness of Jesus Christ be seen through us, we pray. Amen. So when I read that 15th verse, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The idea of being satisfied got my attention. So I looked for other verses, taking the concordance, looking for the word satisfied. I found lots of them, but I selected these. Psalm 22, if you will. Psalm 22, and I'm going to be looking at verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. One need not have the delicacies of a Nero. One need not have that which only the wealth of a rich man could buy them by way of food. Can I say a bowl of tomato soup and a cheese sandwich? Okay, in verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Because you see, when the heart is content in Christ, though we may enjoy some of the delicacies that exist, we don't need them. And when we're fortunate enough to get them, you know, this happens. We're able to enjoy some, you know, sometimes it's a steak. Or if you're a fish person, maybe it's a lobster tail, whatever it is that you like. You see, we all have something we like, and it's nice when we can get that, but that's not our lot in life. Our budgets for groceries are less than that. But verse 26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Oh, but you see, if we're not meek in heart, we won't be satisfied with the things that we have. And we'll always, well, we don't want to call it that, do we? We would always covet the delicacies of someone else. But to be satisfied, that's very important.
Amen.
There's a hymn, I only thought of it now, so I don't know if it's in our book or not, but it's about being satisfied. Okay? Check that out, Mama. See if it's in our book here. It is, you say. Oh, you're going to check. Okay. All right. I saw Sister Ruth Ann was familiar with it too. Yeah. To be satisfied. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Look, they shall praise the Lord that seek Him. You see, if we're not content with what God has given to us, and that doesn't mean you can't try to better your lot in life. That's not to say that you can't work hard and try to advance yourself and improve your status in life, but we need to be content with what we have, lest our goal become very selfish and self-centered. Look at chapter 38, Psalm 36 and verse 8. I'm going to start in 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. Notice that, not just satisfied, abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Fatness, the richness, the completeness of the Lord. Reference in the fatness to the fat that was involved in the sacrifices and how that was so pleasing to God. And here we find that our satisfaction is with the richness, that which is pleasing to our God. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, satisfied with Jesus Christ. And then Psalm 65. In Psalm 65, looking at verse 4 and 5. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. Verse 4, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. What are we like? Are we like Nero? Oh, we do not live in his extremes, of course. Or are we like Paul? If we had to choose a life, which life would we choose? Considering satisfaction, and as we think of satisfaction comparable to contentment, then I remembered 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And the gain of it will be in various ways. So often our mind, when it speaks of great gain, goes to material things. But oh, it's not limited to just that. If that's all that it was, we would not have the finer things that God has to offer. Godliness with contentment. And I like to think that we're not going to have true godliness if we don't have contentment.
That's right. That's good.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. And God will bless. And that's how one like Paul and others like in Fox's Book of Martyrs, or those that we read of and hear of today, can go through the experience of martyrdom with such peace. We can't understand it. Godliness with contentment. But let me remind you that God doesn't give the grace to die for him until we're ready to die. What he gives us grace for is to live for him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is our reasonable service, to give him all. It is not unreasonable of God to expect us to be wholly devoted to him. Psalm 23 summarizes it quite well. I'll not read the whole psalm, just the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now the second part will only be true, I shall not want, when the first part is true, that the Lord is my shepherd. If we're out in the field of life trying to live beyond the control and influence of the shepherd, we will want, indeed. We will be in dire straits for sure. But if we're staying within the voice of the shepherd, we'll have his absolute protection. I read this story about a Mr. Robson. We don't know him. There'd be no way we could know him. He was worked for a detective agency. And he once had to go down into a coal mine to consult with a miner about some evidence. And he needed this evidence like right away. He couldn't wait till the shift was over. And so he had to go down into the mine to be able to speak to the miner. Well, when he got to the bottom of the shaft, he asked the man in charge how he could find this particular man. He said, "Oh, you will have no difficulty in knowing who he is, because he is sure to be singing." Well, as Robson went along the dreary drift of the mine, he said to himself, "Surely, if a man is singing down here, it must be," and then I quote from an old song that I didn't recognize, but it's an old song of that day, "Plunged in a gulf of dark despair, we wretched sinners lay." He thought that's what the guy would have to be singing down here in this coal mine. But he had not gone very far when he heard a cheery voice, and the song that the man he was looking for was singing was, "I've reached the land of corn and wine, and all its riches freely mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away." And the detective agency man wondered, how could he be singing that in this environment? But that's what the grace of God can do for a person. We don't have that grace. We don't come by it naturally. There isn't one person who is by his nature or her nature more prone to be like that. It all depends on how much we seek and search for the grace that God has for us. We all evidence that grace in a variety of ways, but all to the honor of the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you give to us. We are not worthy of it, but you have blessed us with it.